want to share with you these words from the Apostle Paul to his letter to the Christians at Colossae. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And this scripture, in case you're wondering, is rivaling 1 Corinthians 13 as a wedding scripture passage. As I've been doing weddings, it's interesting to see which scripture passages get popular, what kind of ebbs and flows over 25 plus years of doing wedding ceremonies. And this passage is one that we've used a lot, or I've used a lot, that couples have chosen for their wedding day. So I invite you to hear these words. Paul writes, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and the one whose peace is upon us even now. Amen. There have been a lot of prayers raised over the last several months for sunshine today. And we joined forces with St. John Lutheran Church and their praise in the park, and Woodside's having a big outdoor gathering. We figured, let's all three churches pray. And we're grateful that God chose today to be sunny. God could have chosen it to be a rainy day, and we still would be celebrating. But we give thanks. We give thanks for the presence of God this morning here as we gather for worship on this last Sunday in August, 4 months to Christmas Day, if you're keeping track. Not to scare anyone, but I want to thank you first and foremost for being here this morning. As we celebrate Summerfest, as we gather together, it is the power of presence, it's the power of community in which we best reveal and share the love of Jesus Christ. One of the privileges that I have of standing in this pulpit is seeing over time sort of the unofficial seating chart of our worshiping community. And so it's neat to see where people sit and sometimes where people will migrate as well. And I was a little thrown this morning because I looked over here and Reverend Kelsey wasn't sitting over here. He's up in the balcony this morning. And so I appreciate the balance. I saw Ruth. I knew Ruth where Ruth was. And I saw Reverend Kelsey in the balcony. I do look and see where you're sitting. So if you move around, I will find you eventually. I'll just keep preaching till I find you. Paul is writing a significant letter here to the church of Colossae. Early in the letter, he talks about the work of Christ. There's this beautiful crescendo in chapter 1 where he speaks of Christ is in all and through all, lifting up the power and the presence of Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ, and being the Word, as the Gospel of John proclaims, the Word made flesh, how this Word enlivens us. That we are literally part of the body of Christ, which is not a dead body. It is a living body. It is a living body filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the presence of Jesus moving through us and connecting in this mysterious holy harmony with those around us. And when we get to chapter 3, what the apostle is doing is he's taking this imagery for Jesus and he's now placing it upon these Christians at Colossae, and by extension, maybe 2,000 years later, he's saying the same thing about us. He's saying it's how we treat one another. It's how we engage in community as the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. That is the power of our witness. It's the foundation of our gratitude. It's one of the first expressions of the gratitude that we have for the love of Jesus Christ through this transformation that we've experienced through forgiveness, through His peace, through His comfort, that we then care for those around us. In the words of Andy Stanley's book, Irresistible, part of our summer book study, it's how we one another. When we read through the New Testament, we read through the words of Jesus, we read the application through the letters of the Apostle Paul, we keep coming back to this concept that it's how we love one another, how we care for one another, how we're there for one another, how we respond to one another, how we encourage one another makes all the difference. It is where the authenticity of our call is experienced. It's where the world sees and experiences Jesus Christ in us. It's not in our rules. And in rule keeping, we're way past that, the love of Jesus Christ. Instead, we are in the work, in the ministry of responding to the very grace that Jesus has given us. We're responding out of love. We're responding out of gratitude. We're responding out of hope. We're responding out of this promise that the one who is raised from the dead is the one who is alive even now and at work in us and among us. I appreciate that. Amen. That was very well timed. Paul wants us to know, as he writes to this church, he wants us to know that our most compelling witness is how we care for each other, is how we treat each other. I know that you have probably, like me, we've made choices about where we may go to eat or where we may shop or where we may get our hair cut, based on how we're treated. We know as parents of students getting ready for school the difference it makes when we believe our teachers are caring for our students and have taken the time to get to know our child. We know the power of that moment when it feels like we're working together. We know what it's like when we have a significant doctor's appointment and the doctor that we are talking to is talking to us, not just to whatever the symptoms may be, but they're talking to us as a person. And the incredible, incredible ministry of nurses and how nurses will meet us as a patient or as a family member or as a friend and walk us in that journey when we are anxious and when we're afraid. We remember those people. Maya Angelou said, it's not what people say that matters, it's how they make us feel. That's what we remember. And Paul is pointing this out to the church at Colossae. He's speaking it to us because he says, this is how Jesus treated us. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. He's saying this ought to be what guides us as we're thinking about how do we live out this love and this grace of Jesus Christ. How do we share to the world around us this good news of a God who is alive? We literally clothe ourselves. And I would say still wear your shirt or your dress and everything else, but clothe yourselves with compassion, which means we are not thinking first about what makes us happy. We are intentionally thinking about one another. Kindness. Is our act, is what we say, is what we write? Will it help? Will, as Paul says in Corinthians, will it build up the other person? Humility. Are we known by our actions? Does our humility allow us to be approachable? Or do other people experience a wall that says, you better be good enough to talk to me or be around me? Paul says, let humility be that guide. Be that approachable person. He reminds us the power of meekness, which is not weakness. Meekness is the image of the well-trained soldier, which seems strange that you would say we would put those words together, but that's the Roman Empire, and that's the imagery that Paul's working with. The meekness is one who is trained and ready to act when needed. Meekness says, I know my role, and I will do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to look behind me and look for the next person to do it. I'm going to be the one. If I'm in this moment, and this is the moment where care is needed or compassion is needed, and I'm there, it's my role. That's the imagery that Paul's talking about. And then patience. Oh my gosh, this one is so key. And it's important for this reason. Because our Lord has a lot of patience with each one of us, including me. And Paul is saying, if Jesus can have patience with us, why would we not have patience for others? And he's talking about those persons who maybe just rub us the wrong way. They may be a Michigan State fan or a Michigan fan. But you know those people who just unintentionally have that gift of pushing your button? Sometimes they're family members, but they're not always. They're just such a different personality. And Paul says that's where we exercise patience. That's where we don't get caught in, it's got to be my way. It's got to be how I expect it to be done. Paul is reminding us with the power of patience, and we live in a very impatient culture, right? Because of the instantaneous reactions that we can get on social media or the one click on Amazon, we are ready to expect something at a moment's notice. Waiting is not part of our DNA as much as it once was as a culture. And so these words of Paul take on even more meaning about the power of patience. It's giving the other person an opportunity to shine before we judge them otherwise. That's significant. Because we live in a culture that is quick to criticize. In fact, that seems to be our default setting. We'll be critical and then we'll respond. Practicing this power and presence of patience in our lives is giving the other person the grace to shine as they give us the same grace to shine as well. That's significant. Because sometimes we let the first impression become our only impression. And we can miss a potential friendship. We can miss the gift of another person when we lock them into a certain expectation, to a certain way of living or responding. And Paul says, don't do that. And he's saying this for a couple of reasons. One is he's saying it simply to be a powerful witness in the world around them, which was a very much culture-driven, conscious-driven, judging world. Because it was all hierarchy. Everybody was looking to see who they were better than so that they could also get a sense of who they weren't as good as so they knew their pace. Very much a status and very much a limited type of community. But the other reason why Paul is exhorting these Christians to patience is this. He says, as people come to the church, as they are led into community through Jesus Christ, you might have had a grudge with them before you both were Christians. Drop the grudge. It's not relevant anymore. You need to meet that person as they are coming to experience Jesus Christ as an ambassador of Jesus yourself. You need to meet each other in Jesus Christ. You're not bringing that old baggage from before. That's the past. That's the old stuff. We're way beyond that now. Now we're gathering and meeting and greeting here in Jesus. And that's where the patience comes from. That's where the meekness comes from, the humility, the kindness, and the compassion. He talks about forgiving each other, letting it go, moving forward. And then he makes this important comment. He said, how was all of this kept on us? We wear all this clothing. How does it stay on us? How does it not just fall off? Everything is bound together in love. Now, it could be the brooch or the clasp that's keeping the clothing on, or it could be just the top layer of clothing that keeps everything else in place. It's love that guides our compassion. It's love that guides our kindness. It's love that guides our humility. It's love that guides our meekness. It's love that guides our patience. Is that powerful? I was struck by this scripture as I was preparing for this message, thinking about some of our dear church members that have passed away this year. And how many of our church members who passed away this year live this? This is part of how they live their lives. And many others as well. We've experienced this kind of authentic Christian witness in our midst. It has touched us. It has encouraged us. It has called us to live this way so that we would be such good news to the people around us. See, the goal is to love people so much that they begin to see Jesus in us so that they begin to see Jesus in them. The goal of this traditional service is to worship this God who loves us in through the Psalter, through the affirmation of faith, through the hymns. And Great Is Thy Faithfulness was clearly a favorite this morning, either a longtime favorite or a new favorite as you sing it. Through this ritual, we experience the love of Jesus. But it's not just to make us feel good. It is to propel us into offering that love to one another and then into the world around us. We gather in this service to be grounded, but not to be locked here. Rather, worship is a bit of a base camp. It nurtures, it nourishes, it reminds us that this journey of faith is not an individual journey. It is a journey in community, as Paul speaks of here in Colossians, but it's a journey that then leads us into the rest of the week and into the rest of the world, living out this love of Jesus. That's the power of this service. It's meeting Jesus however, wherever we are in our lives, and knowing that Jesus will meet us in that place. And that in this time, as we sing songs, as we maybe take the focus off our own lives for a bit and place Jesus in that focus, as we allow the music and the scripture and the prayers to speak to us, to nurture us, comfort us, and challenge us, we are then preparing ourselves to live this new week a little bit more fully than we have before. I have been really struck over the summer by the power of community. That has been something that God has been pressing upon me in what I have read and as we've worshiped together through the work trip experience, vacation Bible school, through our irresistible book study, through the preparation for Summerfest. All of it keeps coming back to the power of community. That we are stronger in our journey with Jesus when we are taking that journey with other Christians. As we worship, as we engage in small groups, as we serve, as we give, as we grow in our leadership, we do that together. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, I am with them. And I believe those words more strongly now than I ever have before in my life. And worship is one, not the only. It is one of those ways that we engage in this healthy community experience of growing as people of faith, of experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then being propelled out into the world to offer the good news of Jesus Christ. And you, my friends, are the community in which Jesus is experienced and then seen through the rest of the week. And I appreciate that we have this opportunity to live out this compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That indeed it is love that is guiding us, loving God completely and loving our neighbor as ourselves, as Jesus says the greatest commandment is. It's being the church at a time where love is lacking in the world around us, where community is lacking, where people are experiencing more loneliness now than ever before. So these words of Paul take on even more meaning for us, even more opportunity for us as a church to be community, to care for each other so that we may care for those around us. And I want to invite you into an opportunity, if you've not already done so. We did place some envelopes on our pews this morning for our summer offering that is going to helping to support camp scholarships for at-risk youth in Detroit to attend a camp at Justin Collins. It's an investment. We've received almost $1,400 for that offering. The goal was $3,000. We wanted to offer at least 10 scholarships. And part of living out these words of Paul, I want to invite you to think about how you can help support that ministry and be the reason why another youth in Detroit life is transformed. Your gift Maybe the gift that helps very much one of those teens living in the city experience God's compassion, God's kindness, God's humility, God's meekness, God's patience. You may be sort of supporting a scholarship for a future professor, maybe a future mayor of the city of Detroit. Maybe she will be president one day as well. That is our gift as we live out these words of Jesus. Sarah, Ryan, and I, the scholarship cost was $300. We made a gift of $300 because we just believed in offering that scholarship for a young man or young woman in the city of Detroit to have that blessing. Because we know what campus meant to Ryan. I know what campus meant to me as a camp counselor and a camp dean. So I want to invite you, if you've not had the opportunity, the envelopes are there. You can make that donation online through our church website or through the app as well. But if you're looking for an opportunity, say, I have a blessing, maybe an additional blessing this summer, and I just want to share that gift to the church. I want to give that gift to Jesus, and I want to make sure that that gift is helping somebody's life. That gift is an investment in the future of a youth in Detroit, a strong, healthy, holy future. So I want to just invite you to keep that in mind. So we indeed are the community of Jesus Christ. That is who God has called us to be. That is who we will be. So I want to invite us, as we begin to practice that, following this worship out in our parking lot, as we greet one another, as we greet our first-time guests, as we welcome people for making St. Paul's their church home, as we just take time to be community, I invite you during that time to take a time as you walk through the booths to intentionally thank those in our community who have come, our police and firefighters who have made some time this morning to be with us, others in our community groups who have made it a point to be here. Thank them. Thank them for being here. Get to know them. Help them see Jesus in each one of you. Because in doing so, you are offering a powerful blessing. You are planting a seed of faith. You are revealing the love of Jesus. And we don't know, you may be exactly what that person is needing to see today. You may be an answer to their prayer about what it means to have people in their lives who care for them, who notice them and appreciate them. What a privilege to live out this love of Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious and Holy Spirit, we are so blessed by this day to gather and worship and to continue in community. Lord, you have inspired us through these words of the Apostle Paul to live out our faith with our eyes to those around us. Lord, we live in community. Help us to live community. Help us to care for those around us. Help us to be intentional about honoring the persons that you have created, the men and women who share our daily lives. Lord, may we be your witnesses. May we be signs of your grace, your peace, and your forgiveness. May your love freely flow through us for your glory and for your sake. In your name we pray. Amen.